Thank you. I'm going to hand over to Ken to bring us the word this afternoon. Amen.
When I started preparing this, I hadn't realised that it was going to be Father's Day when I brought it. So I see now how it links into that. Because what I want to share this afternoon is about the word of the Lord. On Father's Day, a father desires communication with his offspring. And an offspring communicates with the father. Now in the natural, I know there's all sorts of complications that people have gone through in their lives that's made that possibly difficult. But that's God's desire, is that he communicates with us and we communicate with him. It blows your mind when you think about it, communicating with the Creator. When you start thinking about it, it's beyond our understanding how it works. But when you look through the Old Testament, there's quite a number of times when it says the word of the Lord came to different people. You know, Samuel, Nathan, Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah. Ezekiel, he was always saying it. The Lord said to me throughout his prophetic books. But it's wonderful that we're in the situation where God can speak to us. Somebody was wanting to know what the word of God was. Now, we point that to him and say, that's the word of God. But something came to me the other week that, it's all right, yes, that is the word of God. But what's the word of God to you? Well, the word of God to you is what God wants to tell you at this moment in time. At any moment in time, it's what God wants you to hear. Sometimes we don't want to hear what God has to say. Sometimes we long to hear what God's got to say. So we can be in different sort of feelings and situation. But you might be waiting for a word from God and not realizing how you can get God to speak to you. You're listening, looking in the Old Testament and said, you know, the word of God came to such and such. You think, well, how did it come? Did it come in audible form? You know, did they receive words? Well, not necessarily. But when we start looking through the Bible, you start reading it, things stick. They stick in your mind, they stick in your spirit, they stick in the emotions. Things are there, floating about. Sometimes we don't realise we've actually received them. But we do grasp older things. And we probably grasp older things at different levels, different understandings. But God's communicating and putting in us, it's almost like a library. And the situations come along and, you know, we're wanting God to speak to us, and perhaps there's a word, that something that just drops into our mind, our emotions, that's for the situation we're in. And we think, well, how did that land there? I didn't even know I knew that. But God's put something into us for that particular situation to answer or to direct us in a particular way. God can speak to us in ways that we find it difficult to understand. But he gives us direction. The decisions that we have to make in life can be so difficult in the natural. If we can hook on to what God's wanting us to do, Stephen's mentioned today about jobs and the difficulty when you've got choices. What do I make that's the right one? Now he's got the opportunity on Monday to find out something they didn't think he'd be able to find out until Tuesday. So there's something happening. See, God's working in our lives, and sometimes we don't catch on to how he's working. Because today is Father's Day, I've already received a card from my daughter. She was going off today somewhere. My son's been away at a wedding this weekend. So before the day's out, I know I'll have communication with my son. Because it's Father's Day. Now, if your father's not with us anymore, or you had problems with your natural father, that communication breaks down. But there's a communication that doesn't break down. Your Heavenly Father doesn't break down communication. Sometimes it's up to us to figure out the communication. Remember about the story of the man that fell in the sea and he was calling out to God to help him. And there were a boat came along and said, "We've come to save you." No, I'm waiting for God. God's going to answer me. "All right, I'm all right. I'll be okay." And a few things happened like that, and eventually he drowned. He said, "Well," went to heaven and said, "What happened? I was crying out to God and nobody helped me." So, "Well, I sent the lifeboat and I sent, various things." He didn't see that was God working. But God is working in each one of us. I'll tell you a story going back years. When I was 40, my job stopped. Now, some have heard this before, but my job stopped and I had to find another job. So, do I stay in the industry that I was used to, or do I launch out somewhere else? I'd applied for a job, gone an interview, and got the job. The dilemma rose in me then, do I stay or do I go? Do I leap into this other job, in this other setup altogether? And I didn't know. Now, if you remember the Old Testament, Gideon put a fleece out. He put a fleece out, and if there was dew on it and not on the surrounding, God had answered him. And then he wanted double confirmation. Well, put the dew on the ground around and not the fleece. Well, I'd put a fleece out. Nobody knew this, because I was going through a little bit of a trauma at the time, because I'd been in the same industry for 20 years, and suddenly things were going to change one way or the other. So I put a fleece out. The fleece I put out was, I think it's in Isaiah chapter 41, I think it was. There was particular scripture: "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." And we were going to church on the Sunday, and I was wondering what decision I was going to make. And I said, "Lord, I want to put a fleece out. I want you to get somebody to say that this morning." Now, there's a lot in this Bible. There are a lot of different things in this Bible. I went all through that service in the morning. All through that service, nobody said it. And we got right to the end. And suddenly, somebody came out with that. Well, I knew then what my confirmation was. God has spoken to me. It was mind-blowing. I was in the mode that I just wanted to hear that, to get a decision. And I got it. So I knew what I had to do. There were no argument. I knew. Didn't stop the difficulties. There were 3 years of difficulties followed. But I knew I was where I was supposed to be. God had spoken to me. But it's not everybody's situation to put a fleece out like that. But the reality is that God does speak to us. You remember John the Baptist? Well, if you just turn to Luke chapter 3, you think, oh, John the Baptist, you know, he was sort of fine from birth and everything were, you know, going a certain way. And but Luke chapter 3, verse 2. It says, in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacchaeus, in the wilderness. So God spoke to John. But look where John was. He was in the wilderness. He wasn't in the church. He wasn't in a what we'd call a good, comfortable place for God to hear him. He was in the wilderness. And we are often in situations where we think we're in the wilderness and we think God can't speak to us because we're in the wilderness. We're out in the cold or whatever. Well, don't think because you're in the wilderness that God can't speak to you. That might be the very place you need to be for him to speak to you, so because that's perhaps the only place you'll listen. But God will speak. God will speak to you about your situation, about your future, even sometimes about what you have to do. In Mark, well, there's one or two places where it talks about the sower sowing the word. Well, God's sowing the word in you and me. He's putting the word into us so that when we need to hear him, he can use that word to help us to understand our next steps. Or sometimes, what we're not to do, as well as what we have to do. You just turn to Romans chapter 10, if you've got the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. See, sometimes people might think that God speaking is to us just for other people, or just for the Old Testament, or just for those in the Bible. Well, we're in the Bible. And God says he doesn't change. He's always the same. So what he's done for them, he'll speak to you. It's a case of us trying to understand and hear when God is speaking to us. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That's how close God is to us in terms of talking to us. And that is the word of faith which we are preaching. If you're going to listen for God, you've got to have faith that he is going to speak to you. Don't make preconceptions of how he's going to speak to you. If you look at that passage in verse 8, comes from Deuteronomy, and if you turned back to Deuteronomy, you'd find that the wording is a little bit more extensive. It says, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. It's one thing about having the word in our heart and in our mouth. We've got to be able to see what's happening about the word in us. You can get into situations that you want answers to, and the natural things don't answer it. You know, people ask the big questions. Why am I here? What's it all about? Well, you can look in the Bible and you can understand intellectually what God is saying about why we're here and what it's all about. But it's another thing getting it into your spirit about why we're here and what's it all about. Because a head understanding isn't enough. You can go to Bible college and you learn all about, you know, the Bible and all that. But you've got to have something in your spirit that's confirming that God loves you. As an individual, God loves you. It's not just a general thing that God loves everybody. God loves you personally, individually. That in Deuteronomy, it's followed by another verse, and it says, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. God sets the path that we're going to walk on. God sets it, but he fills it with choices. Now, some choices we might just have to make from what we understand between good and evil. We might just have to make the right choices by conscience. Doesn't say that God hasn't spoken to us, because he's spoken to us in that we've taken in the rules of the game. We've taken in God's rules, God's law. It talks about God's law being in our heart, on our heart. It's all right having a set of rules on a board, but that don't mean to say they're inside us. You ask a child to do something and it refuses, and you make it do it, or it does something you don't want to do, and you tell that child to stop, and then ask that child for an apology for misbehaving. Well, you might be able to force an apology out, but it may not be from the heart. You know, you'll get that chance, I'm sorry. And you know it's not quite genuine. You've got that feeling that it's not quite. So eventually, you'll get that child to the situation where he really does apologise. And you can tell. You can tell when it's real. You can tell when it's genuine. So we got to have more than an intellectual knowledge of the law. It's got to be in our hearts for us to be able to discern between right and wrong, the right things to do and the wrong things. In Psalm chapter 119, verse 105, it says, Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Why is it talking about a path? What does it mean by a path? Well, it's our journey through life. It's a lamp to your feet. As you walk through life and all the experience and circumstances that you meet, it says, His word is a lamp. It lights up the way. It lights up where you're going to put your next footfall. It lights everything up so you can see where you're going. John chapter 6, verse 68. It says, Simon Peter answered him, that's Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Everything that we have in terms of direction in our life is directed by God, if we will listen, if we will look for the answers in Him. So often we'll look for the answers elsewhere. We'll look in all sorts of places. And sometimes He's the last one we'll come to. Oh, He can't be bothered about us. You know, it's a minor thing to wing that. No, He cares about every single aspect of our lives. Some of the decisions we made, which are perhaps silly, I don't think, perhaps they don't have any consequence. If we make a mistake, if our hearts are genuine and we make a mistake, God can bring it round together to good. He says he'll bring it into a good place. Even though we've made a hash of things, not by intent, but by, I don't know, misunderstanding or whatever. So how does God's word work? How does it actually work? Well, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. He says, for the word of God is living and active. It's not a dead word. It's not a clinical book, this. This book is alive. It's a living word. Excuse me. It says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. The word of God penetrates you and me. We can put up a defense. We can become calloused. We can become hardened to the word if we choose to. We can make the word of none effect in our lives if we choose to. But God says the natural way of things is that his word will penetrate right into us. That will give us a conscience that will protect us and guide us. But it will also open us up to hear him. Hear his word. Hear what he's saying to us. It says it divides soul and spirit, both joints and marrow. And it says, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the hearts. It means he can understand and see why we make the decisions we do and why we do what we do. We don't always have the best intent. And God sees that. God's never going to remove from us our free will. He's never going to take that away. We've always got that. But God wants us to see that his way is the right way. And he's going to weigh up our thoughts. He's going to see our thoughts and our intentions. And he wants us to have a genuine desire to follow him. Not a head knowledge, a real desire to follow him and to walk with him. When he knows the intentions of our hearts, he knows the desires of our hearts. Now, God is not a spoil sport. God is wonderful because the word love that describes God is the one that wants the best for me, the best possible outcome for me. If that's the case, he's going to want the best for me in terms of decisions. If I listen to myself sometimes and make the decisions I think I work out and think should happen, it'll be disaster sometimes. But if God makes the decisions, then I know I'm going to go to a good place. It's going to take me to a good place. Now, it might be a difficult path. I'm not saying it's an easy path, but it's going to take me to the right place. It's going to take me where God wants me to be. If you just turn to chapter 4, verse 7. No, that's not right. Ah, that's it, yeah. Chapter 4, verse 7. It's the second half of the verse. It says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Because sometimes God will speak to us in a way that we don't really want to hear. We might think he's being a spoil sport, or we might think he's stopping us enjoying ourselves or something. But when God's prompting us, it's important that we don't harden our hearts. It is possible to harden your heart, you know. It's possible for you to... When you've been around a few more years, you see a change in society. What was unacceptable then becomes acceptable now. God's rules haven't changed. Man's rules have changed. And things become muggy. Perhaps the best word. Man muddies the water. So He manipulates the right and wrong. And the wrong becomes right and acceptable. He's done it over a period of time. And I remember when I was growing up, it was fine to leave your doors unlocked. No problem. No one would come into your house. It's fine. Quite often on an estate, everybody knew everybody else. It was open house. There wasn't television to keep them all shut in for a start. And no computers and other things. And it worked. You know, now, well, I said recently, just to come into Doncaster, if you come into Doncaster at night, it has a different atmosphere to the daytime. It used to. Doncaster was a nice place at night years ago. But it's not really a place you want to be in town now. There's something about the atmosphere is changed. But same with a lot of things. Man has manipulated laws. We're making laws in this nation now. They're not based on the Word of God. And unfortunately, this nation has to take responsibility for that, for the consequences of that. We hope at some time that they will go back to this. You know, America made its law based on this, and this nation based its laws on this, but now they're drifting. Well, not so much drifting as directing their hearts in a different way. We accumulate in our heart and in our minds and in our spirit the Word of God. We accumulate it over years. The preacher preaches it, people teach it, we read it, we pray about it, we talk to God about it, we study, we share, and we accumulate into ourselves the Word of God. And I say, nobody knows it all. No two people know all the same. Some we have common ground on, and we know certain things about it. And we're finding new things out in the Word of God. As we walk the walk of faith, we come up and we find new things cropping up in our understanding, our heart. Sometimes things jump out at us from the Word of God. How does it do that? You know, we've read that time and time again, and suddenly something jumps out. I've not seen that before. It may be for us, you're in a certain situation, and you turn to the Word of God, and there's something you find, wow, that's what I needed to hear. That's for me. What's God doing? Well, He's speaking to you. He's talking to you. Sometimes it might be things we've recalled that we've already found in the Word of God in the past. Might be that we're praying and things come to us. You know, we have Bible studies on a Wednesday night, and I'm not right good at note taking. I tend to take a few references and things like that. Over the last 4 or 5 weeks, This word today came from a Bible study we had the other week. But I've got one here. Wednesday, 9th of April. Now I've circled the thing down. That's not directly referring to all that, but it's something that came to me in the meeting. The shadow of the heavenly. And I was just looking at Hebrews chapter 8 for some reason. I think, we'd been in Hebrews chapter 7. I saw something in Hebrews chapter 8. And rather than lose it, I wrote it down. This was 7th of May. This was Grace, so that'll be Wednesday again. This is today's. The Word of God. And just a few notes I scribbled down, because that's how it just came to me. The word you were waiting for. Gideon's fleece. Wheelbarrow. Now then. Yeah, Pastor Andrew told us the story about wheelbarrow. It was a lady, I think it was, went to a meeting, church meeting, and she was wanting an answer. She was putting the fleece out. And she asked somebody to say, wheelbarrow, somewhere in that meeting, sometime. So they went through the meeting. Now, wheelbarrow is not something that tends to crop up in church, is it? Unless it's a gardener's convention, church meeting. Before the meeting finished, somebody said wheelbarrow. And I think it because somebody was prompted by God that you need to go out and say the word wheelbarrow. It wasn't in the context of anything. So somebody had to respond and go out and say it. They must have felt an idiot. Well, me going out and saying wheelbarrow. But because they did, it connected. Everything came together. The other thing was, I just wrote decisions, wrote life changing. What gets us to that point? Now that were a question, that. What gets us to the point in life where we're at now? And what questions do you want God to answer? What questions do you want God to answer you for your situation, for whatever? And then another little comment. Be prepared to stick in with what follows. That's something I've just got to cover yet. But that was, we said, from 1 week. Another one, 21st of May. Now, I'm just telling you, I felt that this was God just speaking to me. And I just jotted it down. But it wasn't really in the context of what was happening. But it was just in the Bible study. Come to Bible studies, your God can talk to you in Bible studies. Not necessarily by you speaking at the front. This one. Oh, she was doing about the priest's garment, so this is relevant in a way. Complete. The priest could not operate unless his garments were complete. I cottoned on to that by something great. I don't know what Grace was talking about in terms of that. She was talking about the breastplate of judgment. When we worship, we are coming towards completeness. Now, they were just things I jotted down. Oh, now, I did bring this out the week. I got a picture about the connection we have with God. I don't know what concept you have of your connection with God. Some people just think actually it's one connection and that's it. Now, I just got this picture that we've got an intertwined connection with Him. So many connections with God that's there all the time. And sometimes we break one of those connections. But because we're so strongly intertwined, so many intertwined connections, that the fact that one strand breaks does not disconnect us from God. God's got such a hold of us. And that was just a picture that I got. And again, I just jotted it down. So the advice is, if you get something that comes from God, if it's half a thing or whatever, just jot it down. Because it might be important. It might be important for somebody else, because sometimes it's your responsibility to go and say wheelbarrow. It could be. You might be the vehicle that God's using to speak to somebody else. And it might not necessarily make sense to you, because you don't need to know the whole story. You don't need to know that why that lady needed to hear the word wheelbarrow. All you needed to know that God needs you to say wheelbarrow. So don't come out and say wheelbarrow today. But I'm just trying to sort of explain to you that God's in communication with you and me all the time. You see, Father's Day is one day in the year when offspring and the fathers communicate. God's communicating all the time. I came across a really interesting verse in Psalm 27. If you'd like to turn to it. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Verse 13 and 14, right at the end of the psalm. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Sometimes you have to just wait. But it tells us that to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You're not going to wait till you're dead to get the answer. You see it in the land of the living. There were some people in the Old Testament, they had to wait a long time to get the answers. I listed one or two. It was Abraham. He had to be patient over God's promise. And he tried to fix it himself. But that went a bit astray. Noah, he had to wait a long time before he got the ark complete. And he had to endure a lot of ridicule in that time. Joseph, you know Joseph, the coat of many colours, Joseph. He was imprisoned unjustly. So he had to endure injustice. He had no recourse. He just had to be in prison, because that's where they slammed him. David had hostility from Saul for a long time. Saul were jealous of him. But he had to honour and respect Saul, even though Saul at times was out to kill him. He had to maintain his loyalty to Saul. That must have been very, very difficult. The thing that we need to understand is that God knows the perfect timing to speak to us. He knows where we're at. He knows what we're going through. He knows where we're heading. And God will give us direction in various ways. It's up to us to see what he's saying, to understand what he's saying. But we've also got to be prepared to stick in with what follows. When I made my decision at age 40 to change jobs, my family will tell you that I had an awful time for 3 years following that, trying to get to grips with where I was at, the job and the surroundings and everything. But one thing I knew, that God had put me there. And that probably was the thing I held on to for a long time. And it did come good. It came good. I could have made my own decision to change what God had done then. But I didn't. I stayed with it. And God blessed us. Bless me, bless my family. And I'm here now because I stuck with it. When I didn't want to stick with it, I would have gladly run away and hide and hid somewhere, but I didn't. So God spoke to many people in the Bible. He speaks to people today, and he can speak to you today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not too big for you. You are not too small for him. He knows you. He knows all your problems. He knows your future. He knows your past. Yet he says, you have no past, because I've dealt with it. He says, you have a future, and your future's in him. So keep drinking in the word. Keep drinking in his word. You think that perhaps reading the Bible, it's not sinking in. Things will. Sometimes, you know, playing tapes or whatever. I know Bill and Edwin love to listen to the radio, to the television broadcasts. You have to be discerning in what you listen to on the radio, on the broadcast. But there are some good Christian teachers around. If you do that, then through it, God will speak to you. Just finish with one scripture from Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk is one of the prophets nearly up to, you're getting towards the New Testament, one of the last books. Habakkuk chapter 2. Just the first three verses. Now I'll leave you with this. I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch and see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. So let that be your Bible study for today. Keep in there. Keep looking for God to speak to you. And when he does, run with it and stick with it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.